From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Thanks to you for listening. Welcome to everybody on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we begin our 21st year, and thanks to everybody who has supported us, our underwriters and our listeners and all our guests over that period of time. It's been much appreciated. Well, we're pleased to welcome in Dr. Marlene Fredericks-Fitzwater, an adjunct professor of public health at the University of San Francisco, retired associate professor from the UC Davis School of Medicine. Doctor, good morning. Doctor, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Oh, there you go. There was a technical glitch, which proves we're live radio.
Right.
Appreciate you being with us. First off, tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a longtime cancer survivor. I've been a professor for 30 years, UC Davis School of Medicine, and also I was at California State University. So primarily a professor, doing a lot of research in health disparities with populations, particularly around cancer, cancer incidence and survival and prevention.
What do you mean by health disparity?
Well, we know, for example, that breast cancer is more prevalent among African-American women.
Right.
So, trying to understand that better, why that's true, and also looking at different ways of preventing breast cancer in that same population. And I've done a lot of work with American Indian tribes, kind of the same thing, increasing mammography screening rates and dealing with prevention of breast cancer and colon cancer.
Yeah, I mean, there are some well-known diseases that affect certain populations, and it's quite obvious that it's genetic based. But with certain cancers, you're right. There are some groups that have it more prevalent, and it doesn't necessarily seem to be genetic based.
Right. Sometimes it's related to diet, amount of exercise, lifestyle issues, smoking, behaviors, and things that we can change.
Yes, indeed. Are you lecturing me, doctor?
That was not my intent.
Was your finger wagging while you were saying those things? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can all improve, that's for sure.
Oh, yes.
But then there are things, you know, you see these stories, of course, and I'm sure we all have known people where it seems like they checked all the boxes and still ended up with one of these dread diseases.
Right. And that can be where genes play a part or something else. We don't know everything either. I mean, we're still trying to learn more. So there may be other issues that we're just not aware of.
Indeed. Well, we greatly appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Tell us about Joshua's House, the Joshua's House Hospice.
Well, it really... The concept and idea really started a few years ago when I was still at UCD. I was helping the cancer center there develop an outreach program for newly diagnosed cancer patients and their families, and became aware, which I hadn't really thought about or didn't know about, became aware that homeless folks who, for example, are diagnosed with cancer get treated, but then they get discharged back out on the street, even though that's not maybe what the hospitals are reporting. That's really what happens, because they get taken somewhere and there's not a bed, there's not a service for them, and so they end up back out on the street. And I learned that by meeting a gentleman who was in for treatment and was homeless. And so I'm telling him about all these wonderful services we can bring to him in his home, and he kind of stops me and says, well, I don't have a home. I'm homeless. So that prompted me to really begin to look at that whole issue and understand it better. And because California has the highest homeless rate in the country and the highest rate of poverty, it's really a significant issue here. And I then learned that people were dying on the street who were homeless and had cancer or heart disease or some other potentially terminal illness. And that just did not seem right to me. But even maybe more importantly, I had a grandson, Joshua Lee, who had been homeless most of his adult life, who was a wonderful young man, full of love for everyone and a very talented musician. And so I would talk to him about the issue of homeless people dying on the street, not having a place to go for hospice care because hospice is delivered in people's homes. And so Josh said, yes, every city he'd been to, everywhere he'd been, he knew of people who were dying on the street. And he and I both agreed that just should not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to kind of do the research to find out there were only a handful. I think at that time there were only 5 hospice facilities for the terminally ill homeless in the United States. And so gathered information, talked to all the people who ran those facilities, learned as much as I could about them, and then began to think about how to create something here in California, in Sacramento. And sadly, Josh died in 2014 of an overdose and died on the streets in Omaha, Nebraska. And that really then moved me to do something. So I started really focusing on it and retired from UCD in 2016 to really take this on as a full-time commitment. And I had created a nonprofit called the Health Communication Research Institute in 1989. And so we had been doing a lot of research, and we started looking at the homeless and health issues. And I think I interviewed probably 150 homeless men and women. And then I did 5 focus groups with 35 homeless men and women and said, if you had a terminal illness and you knew you were dying and you had a place to go, what would it look like, feel like, smell like, and gathered their wonderful ideas and then shared those ideas with 2 architects who stepped up and wanted to help create Joshua's house. And it just kind of grew from there. We have an incredible number of community individuals and organizations who've stepped up to support us and help us meet this goal, particularly Mayor Daryl Steinberg and City Council Member Jeff Harris just really have gone all out to help us create Joshua's house. So we bought the property last year at 1501 North C Street, which is about a block from Loaves and Fishes.
Right near Loaves and Fishes, right?
Yes, yes. And actually, Sister Libby, I met her very early on in this whole project, and she's been an incredible, wonderful source of support and helped connect me with people that would.
Of course, nowadays you have to chase her on her bicycle.
I know.
Yeah.
So she's on our board and has really been a tremendous supporter to us.
That's
so we just started. We bought the property, as I mentioned, last year, and we're now going through rather lengthy, which I wasn't aware of, a very lengthy kind of permit process with the city. I think we're finally reaching the end of all of that, and they can start remodeling and construction hopefully in November.
So was there a current building on the site?
There is a building. It's a big 11,000 square foot empty warehouse. And so, you know, there's a lot of retrofitting we'll have to do, but it's a big enough space. We can have 20 private rooms for 20 residents. We have a commercial kitchen, a chapel, a library, a multi-purpose room. So it gives us adequate space to at least get started. It'll be the first one on the West Coast, so we're trying to create a model that other cities and communities can adapt and use. And then the other remarkable, wonderful information to share is that probably now about 6 months ago, Goodwill of Northern California stepped up. And once we open, which we think will be in the spring of 2020, they're going to cover all of our operating costs long as we're doing providing free care to terminally ill homeless men and women.
Wow.
So
salaries of staff, things like that?
Everything.
Wow.
Everything. I mean, that was just the most incredible thing. I feel in my heart that
that's
God
amazing.
Has really been helping us and supporting us, and so has Josh.
I'm going to give those folks my phone number. Isn't that generous? Holy cow.
Oh, I know. It's just remarkable.
I'm gonna go, we have a Goodwill in my hometown of Davis. I'm going to have to go down there and buy something. Help them out. Wow. So what kind of a price tag between the purchasing of the property and the retrofitting? And have you already raised all the funds for that?
We're pretty close. We're the total amount we need to raise is $3.5 million, mm-hmm. and we're about $800,000 short. Mm-hmm. But we've got a few more months, and we have a couple big fundraisers coming up. So I feel pretty confident we'll meet that.
Define, if you will, exactly what we mean when we say hospice.
Well, hospice care is, first of all, you need to have a medical diagnosis of a terminal illness, meaning you have about, I mean, nobody knows for sure, of course, but you have about 6 months left to live.
Mm-hmm. And is this usually cancer?
Generally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other heart diseases and things, too, that can lead to that.
Sure.
But generally, yeah, I would say mostly it's cancer.
Mm-hmm. And, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. So you're saying up to maybe, you know, you have a short prognosis.
Right. And with the homeless, by the time they get diagnosed, they generally only have 2 or 3 months
mm-hmm.
because they get diagnosed much later.
Right. And go ahead.
I was just going to say we've partnered with all four health systems. So Dignity, Sutter, UCD, and Kaiser have partnered with us. So how this will work is that they will discharge a terminally ill homeless man or woman into Joshua's house, and then they will provide hospice care.
Hmm.
So they will come in and provide all of the care related to hospice. And then we at Joshua's house will provide comfort care, clothing, shelter, meals. We're going to offer art therapy and music therapy. As I mentioned, we have a chapel. We'll have various churches and parishes that will come in and offer services on Sundays mm-hmm. and other kinds of services during the week. So really trying to provide for all the needs of someone who's been homeless.
So with these four institutions, medical institutions, do they provide off-site hospice care now?
Well, yes. Most hospice care is in the home.
Right,
so
right.
But
are they providing that care?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Because
there are a lot of, I know some of the people involved in Yolo County Hospice. And, I mean, are they associated with a hospital?
Yes, they are, actually.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Wow. So it sounds like you've crossed all the T's and touched all the bases. And
I've tried. And I have a great board and a great community advisory committee that's really helped. We have a policies and procedures committee that meets monthly with representatives from all the hospitals. And just the community has just really stepped up. And offered to help in any way that they can. We have a group of women who are making quilts to give each resident their own quilt. Just some wonderful, amazing people out there.
From a medical standpoint, what does hospice care involve?
Well, they provide medications, for example. They're not medications that would cure, or but pain relief. If the person's on some kind of medication, maybe they're bipolar or have some other issue, then they would just ensure that they get their medicine, they check on them. Mostly at that stage, it's providing pain relief and keeping them comfortable.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to have 20 beds Is that anywhere near enough?
Oh, no. The hospitals are telling me we'll be full the first week.
Wow.
But it's a start.
Mm-hmm. And well, it's a start, and it's a model.
You're right. Yeah. Right. In fact, I've had people from other cities throughout California call or come visit us, and there's a group in Los Angeles that I've been working with who are now raising the money to create Joshua's House Hospice of Los Angeles.
Wonderful.
So just trying to create a model that will be relatively easy for other communities to adapt and work with.
It's you're doing the Lord's work. I'll tell you, that's
I'm trying.
that's hard work. Now tell us about this wonderful fundraiser.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. It's Friday, October 18th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. And Father O'Reilly has just bent over backwards to make this a wonderful event. He, as well as several other parishioners, will be performing. So it's a concert. We also will have a reception with refreshments and some artwork that will be sold. And it's just an opportunity for the community to come together and enjoy some beautiful, beautiful music. And everything collected, any proceeds from that event, will all go to Joshua's House.
Well, I'm one of those lucky people that I wouldn't claim to know those. I mean, I know those people, but they're not necessarily friends of mine. But I've heard them perform, all of them: Father O'Reilly,
oh my
Rex
gosh.
Rolanka, Rachel Songer, who is just fabulous, Robert Camillo. They are all just fabulous. You better have a good reason not to go to this concert because. It's worth the price of admission, even if it wasn't for a charity.
Just to go and enjoy the music.
Yeah,
yes.
They are top talent.
Yes, they are. We're just so fortunate, and we're so grateful.
And it's all at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. Does St. Vincent de Paul Society have a hand in this as well?
They've been helping, yes. Mm-hmm. They have been helping us.
There's not many projects that they aren't helping with.
I know.
it's pretty remarkable. And for those that don't know, the cathedral's at 1017 11th Street. Everybody is welcome. And tickets are $25 in advance, $35 at the door. And they are available online at joshuashousehospice.org. And that's Joshua's, like the plural of Joshua, but without an apostrophe.
Right.
On the S. So Joshua's House Hospice.org. That's a mouthful.
It is.
I need to work on my H's. Yeah. Wow. Well, that's and Los Angeles is already thinking about this. That's wonderful.
They're working on it. Yes. They got a small grant to start kind of planning and putting together a board and have begun to work on it, which, you know, it's certainly needed. They have a huge number of homeless folks. And Sacramento does, too. We've increased significantly the number of homeless folks we have.
Well, and, you know, I'm from Davis, and my hometown of Davis has a significant number of homeless as well.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a constant in the news type of issue, like, how are we going to solve this? I remember when Daryl Steinberg was running for mayor, he said, that's my number one priority. You know, I think he may have used the term end homelessness, which, you know, obviously is a very ambitious goal, but he's very sincere about it.
He is very sincere about it, and he's been a huge supporter of Joshua's House.
Yeah, and I know the Governor Newsom has made similar commitments, and you know, we hear it from fortunately from all sides of the political spectrum. You know, people are very concerned about their fellow man and woman, and it's not an easy problem, though.
Oh no, it isn't. It's very complex and complicated. But I just decided I'll focus on this one tiny area because I don't think anyone should die alone on the street. I just
no.
No,
you know, it's you know, you you know, maybe it becomes a movement and you save, you know, help people hundreds and thousands of people, or maybe it stays in Sacramento and you help 20 at a time.
Exactly.
It's still a wonderful thing to do. It's the best we can all do. Is even if you help one person, you're changing the world.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Yes.
Well, anything I didn't ask you, you'd like to share about Joshua's House?
I don't think so. I think you covered everything. It's just we're just really excited and anxious to get open. As I mentioned, the plans are to open in the spring of next year, and we just, you know, every day I hear about someone who's died alone, and I want to stop as much of that as we can.
Well, it's a wonderful sentiment, and you're putting the energy behind the sentiment, which is more than a lot of us do. Again, the concert is Friday, October 18, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament in downtown Sacramento, and it's all for the Joshua's House Hospice. Tickets are available at joshuashousehospice.org. I presume people can just come to the door, too, as well.
Yes,
and
yes.
If you've never seen the cathedral, it's gorgeous. What a venue that is.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So, well, hopefully you get a sellout crowd, and if we're lucky, maybe we can get you back on the air before the grand opening in the spring.
Oh, I would love that. I really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Well, keep us in mind and give us a shout when it's getting near, and we'll try to do the same. And for sure, we'll keep you and all the people helping and all the homeless here in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marlene. God bless.
All right. God bless
appreciate
you.
It. Yeah, that's,
thank you.
Dr. Marlene Fredericks Fitzwater. Wow. Talk about taking a project, taking the bull by the horns. My goodness gracious! What a wonderful thought! What a wonderful sentiment! But she's actually doing the legwork. I'm sure with a lot of people helping her as well. And if you've not been to the cathedral, even if you have, even more reason to go because you know how beautiful it is. And wonderful solo performances by Father Michael O'Reilly, pianist and flutist, Rex Rolanka, the organist, Rachel Songer, the soprano, and Robert Camillo, classical guitarist, all at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, 1017 11th Street, Friday, October 18, 6 to 8 p.m., tickets available at joshuashousehospice.org. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at the thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Lori Power, Associate Superintendent with the Catholic School Department. You are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back. I appreciate you all being with us on this beautiful day the Lord has made. And we go up the valley to the great city of Yuba City, and we're joined by Marlene Guth from 40 Days for Life in Yuba City. Marlene, good day.
Good morning. Yes, good day.
Good to have you. Good to have you with us.
Yes, thank you, Bob. Glad to be here.
Tell us about 40 Days for Life in Yuba City, and I presume you might be pulling some people in from Marysville and Linda and some of those other places.
Well, the 40 Days for Life here in Yuba City is going well. We're in front of Planned Parenthood here in Yuba City, mm-hmm. and they do the RU-486 abortion here.
Right.
So we have a number of volunteers that come out and pray, very dedicated volunteers. We have, on day one, we had a very wonderful day. We had our first save day one, and we've had other women, two other women that have chosen life for their babies. We're handing a lot of literature, and we also refer them to other resources in our community where they can get services that Planned Parenthood does, but not abortion. So we're educating everybody that comes by and in and out of Planned Parenthood, those that will speak to us.
Are you able to approach people? Is it set up so that you can?
Well, yes, we're on the sidewalk, mm-hmm. and people drive into the driveway. Planned Parenthood is actually positioned way at the back of the parking lot, mm-hmm. in a corner. So people drive in here, and we offer literature. Many people open their window, take the literature, but we talk to them about it and explain, you know, what it is we're giving them. We explain that this is an abortion business. We encourage them that they're going there for any other reason to choose a resource in our brochure here locally and go there instead of supporting an abortion business. It really gives us the opportunity to help people understand that even this Planned Parenthood, this little tiny Planned Parenthood, does do the RU-486 abortion.
So they're not doing surgical abortions, but they are doing the chemical abortion, which means people are going home with a prescription.
That's right.
Right. And then they are providing other things which, are not anti-life, and you're able to refer people to other places that can provide those same services.
Yes. Yes. And we do. And we've had many people say, thank you for that information. I won't go here again. It's a good communication that we're having with people. And as we stand here on this little street, which is really very busy, we have more positive responses from people passing by. You know, we have positive honking and thumbs up. You know, we have the opposition's their little signal, but, you know, we just say, we're praying for you. We have the workers here at Planned Parenthood. We know them by name. They are not real happy that we're out here, but they're used to us. And, we just pray for them, too, that the Lord would open their eyes and open their hearts to life and realize that, you know, what they're doing here is not really helping women. So we have the opportunity also, many women will say, well, I've had an abortion, and I really regret it. And so we're able to give them help here at our local pregnancy resource center. Mm-hmm. They do a Bible study, and also we refer them to Rachel's Vineyard. Mm-hmm. So it's
Rachel's
it's
Vineyard,
a
of course, run by the Diocese of Sacramento, and does just wonderful work.
Yes. And I've known many women that have gone on that weekend, Catholic, some other denominations, and they all say that it blessed them so much and helped them to forgive themselves. And, you know, that's what I realized, too, the more I do this work, is that women that are coming in here aren't going in for an abortion because they really want one. They're going because someone's encouraged them, whether it's a girlfriend, a husband, a boyfriend, or they think, gosh, this is the only only option I have.
And some of them are going in because all those people you just mentioned have abandoned them.
Yes, that's true. And so we have the opportunity, when we do get to speak with women, we talk to them about our local pregnancy resource center, which is a woman's friend. We send them over there if they're open to that. We'll sometimes drive them over there. And we're able to even call a woman's friend and say, may we bring someone over? And they'll say, we're ready. Please come. We have a very good working relationship.
So where is the clinic located in Yuba City?
It is located on Live Oak Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And the exact, I don't know the address by heart.
No, but it's on Live Oak Boulevard. Which is a busy street.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's a nice facility. The people in there, all of the workers are very warm and caring. They're located at 961 Live Oak Boulevard in Yuba City.
Mm-hmm. So the what hours do you folks keep with the vigil?
Well, Planned Parenthood here is open from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and we are here for all of those hours that they're open.
Do you have trouble getting enough volunteers?
Well, you know, we have a lot of volunteers on paper. We can always use more, mm-hmm. but there's never less than 3 of us out here.
Oh, good.
So we communicate with them daily via the 40 Days for Life email system and let them know what happened that day and encourage them to come out if they aren't signed up. And some days we have, you know, maybe 15 people out here at one time, but that's a rare day. Mm-hmm. It's mostly 3, maybe 6, but we're most thankful for these volunteers.
So is it a ecumenical movement? Are you getting people from a lot of different churches involved?
Yes, here in Yuba City, I think we probably have 8 to 10 other churches that are involved.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
It is. And that has happened in the last probably 4 campaigns. I have a woman from one church here that has been just dynamic in getting volunteers for other churches. And it's beautiful how we work together. You know, this is a common cause. Christ wants us out here to help women and save babies.
Yeah, it is a common cause, and it's important that we all share in it. I think it may be, you know, Jesus said that he wanted us all under one roof, if you will. And yes. This may be the issue where Jesus gets his way.
That's, you know, he even uses situations like this to bring us together, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully it will. And even though it's a tragic situation. And so what are your biggest challenges, Marlene?
My biggest challenges for me personally or here?
No, for the 40 Days for Life.
Goodness. Probably just keeping the hours filled. Some, you know, I would love to see more than 3 people on the sidewalk every hour. So I really, that's my biggest challenge. I would like people to, you know, be out here for a couple hours, you know, each day a week. And if we had a 400 people that did that, it would be great. That biggest challenge is just more volunteers on the sidewalk. I would imagine also the challenge also are those that are going in and out of this driveway that go to Planned Parenthood. very obviously don't want us to approach them. That's a very big challenge. I pray for all those people. Obviously, there's something in their life that, you know, causes them to be angry and bitter and kind of resentful of us. So that's a very big challenge, too. So we pray for everyone that comes and goes, and we pray for the workers. And God is good, you know.
Yeah, well, we've heard, you know, that's the story of Abby Johnson was down in Texas where she was running the abortion clinic and kind of got to know the 40 Days for Life people who were basically right across the street or right next door. And next thing you know, she sees the light.
She is. And that brings to mind also, we will be having a free showing up here near the city at a church called Glad Tidings.
Oh, sure.
The movie Unplanned. And that's on October 20th at 6:30 in the evening. So anybody listening to this wants to see the movie Unplanned, which is just a real eye-opener, please come out on October 20th to Glad Tidings Church, and it's all free.
And what time of the evening again?
It's at 6:30.
Perfect.
Yes. Perfect.
On the 20th.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. It's that would be excellent. That's a Sunday evening, right?
Yes, it is, Bob.
Very good. Very good. Well, Marlene, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and keep up the great work there, and we'll look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. God bless, Marlene. That's Marlene Guth from Yuba City, 40 Days for Life. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on a Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
That's me, and thank you, Bishop Wiegand, for all you have done and continue to do for our church here in the Diocese of Sacramento and for the Universal Church, a great inspiration to all of us. Well, Alex Barraza joins us. Alex is the Regional Coordinator for Youth and Young Adult Ministry and Pastoral Juvenile. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the invitation to be present.
I heard you were freezing at the soccer game.
Yes, last night. Yeah. It was fun. Good food. Exciting. It was very exciting. Okay, so the last, it was 3-3, most of the second.
And who's playing?
Juarez versus Sacramento.
Juarez?
Juarez.
All the way from Mexico?
Yes, all the way.
Yeah, from they Texas. Joined, I mean, yeah, from across from El Paso. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they joined the it's called the Liga MX.
Uh-huh.
So it's part of the same league
right. Mm-hmm.
Sacramento. So
wow.
they came. It was an exhibition game.
That's
it wasn't
great.
Like a real game, but it was very good.
Did they call that a friendly or something?
They were never friendly. Yeah, yeah. But the last call, it was like a penalty.
Uh-huh.
Like 2 minutes left,
yeah.
They had a penalty, and the goalie from Juarez came all and kicked it, and that was the winning goal.
Oh wow. Wow.
Yeah, so that was exciting.
Exciting game, 4-3.
Yes, 4-3. Yeah, wow. We lost, but we won.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, it's a great game. Well, good to have you here. You got a couple of big events coming up. Tell us about Equip.
Equip.
Which is coming up on Saturday the 19th,
yes.
Beginning at 10 a.m. up at Trinity Pines Catholic Center up in Colfax, 28,000 Rollins Lake Road in Colfax.
That's right. So this, we're excited. We're going to start our youth ministry specialization mm-hmm. with a retreat. This is something new. It's a hybrid model. And so we're going to start with a retreat. We have awesome people joining us. It's Father Michael Sweeney, Father Dean Marshall, Doug Took. He's in youth ministry for many, many years, and he's now working with Catholic Movie Company and Deacon Kevin. And this is going to be our discernment retreat,
mm-hmm.
the importance of discernment. So what we have heard from the Synod is the need for us to discern our call
mm-hmm.
so we can better equip ourselves to serve the young church.
And this is for youth and young adult ministry.
Yeah, even confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that is working with young people directly and want to learn some new tools, this is a hybrid model. It's going to be a hybrid model. So it's going to be something online and then learning groups.
Uh-huh.
So we can all get together with groups and then share our experience.
So there'll be 6 sessions after the weekend retreat?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. And it's going to be based by regional area and time. So what's going to happen at the retreat is that we're going to do some small groups and start the work as a small group.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to continue meeting 6 times during the year.
So it Friday is optional to check in and a social at 6:30 p.m. or you can come Saturday morning. The retreat will begin at 10 a.m. and
yes.
then concludes Sunday at 5 p.m.
Yes, we'll have Mass. We'll have Holy Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be, we're very blessed. We have 2 priests, so there will be a time for reconciliation. So it's going to be a beautiful moment for self mm-hmm. and to be with others.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Equip. They can go to the website, diocesan website, www.scd.org/equip.
That's equip, E-Q-U-I-P, if you don't know how to spell it. Equip. It's a weird word.
One word.
Yeah, one word. Uh-huh. One word, yeah.
Equip for life, equip for ministry.
And you can call Rochelle if you have any questions, 916-733-0101. What a lineup, too. Deacon Kevin Staskow, Father Dean Marshall, Father Michael Sweeney, who's done such great work.
Yes, yes. And we have Doc Took. He is a specialist on rural parish ministry.
Uh-huh.
He's up in Montana, and he specializes on reaching out to diverse communities. He has a big a ministry with one of the native tribes up there.
There are a number of native tribes in Montana.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And mm-hmm. yeah, and an awful lot of rural parishes in Montana as
yes.
well. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. So he shares a lot of our similarities. And he's also
sure.
very, he has a lot of experience urban ministry like
yeah,
some
you,
of our other parishes.
You get north of Redding in the Diocese of Sacramento, you might think you're in Montana. I mean, truly
yeah.
similar countryside, similar occupations.
Yes.
You know, a lot of farming and ranching and, yeah.
Yeah, I drove through, I went to Yosemite one time.
Uh-huh.
And it's like nothing.
Yeah.
A little town, 50 people,
yeah.
5 people. It
yeah.
kept getting like lower numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful, though. Beautiful.
Yeah, well, it's great. So, again, contact Rochelle Gamad at 916-733-0123, or you can go to the website, scd.org. And SCD, it just stands for Sacramento Catholic Diocese, and you can just find just about everything there, including how to listen to the Bishop's Hour online, scd.org/equip. And that, again, begins Friday the 18th, or you can come Saturday morning the 19th, concludes Sunday the 20th at 5 p.m. $100 includes meals and housing, and the fee is waived if you're participating in the EQIP specialization. 28,000 Rollins Lake Road. Just take the Colfax exit, and you'll get there.
Amen.
Yes. Very good. And another event coming up.
Yes.
Patience.
So, patience, the retreat, the Advent retreat. So we heard a lot about in the youth ministry field, people on the parishes, people kept telling us that they wanted a moment to reflect and a moment to be quiet and a moment not to be so busy. In ministry, we're so busy, constantly being asked to do things, constantly right. On the go. So we are putting out on our Advent series. We had one last year that was very successful. So we're inviting people this year to come. It's called Patience. It's an Advent retreat, and it's on December 7th. And we have Sarah Hart and PJ Anderson. If you have Sarah has some beautiful music, church music. You might be singing it in your parish, and it's going to be a waiting retreat, an Advent retreat. Mm-hmm. So to find time, we need to quiet our hearts sometimes, many times, and stop talking and start listening.
And that will all be at the Sacramento Newman Center, right across the street from Sacramento State, 5900 Newman Court, right here in Sacramento. You can go to scd.org/patience-retreat. That's patience like being waiting, not patient like you're waiting in a doctor's office. I guess that is a patient who needs patience.
Yeah, paciencia.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed. So, and that, again, is for youth and young adult ministry leaders.
Mm-hmm. Or anybody that is working with young people that wants to be in an ambience of youth ministry, with colleagues who understand. Sometimes we need to be with people that understand us and that know our struggles and our challenges, our wants and desires to serve God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you talk about youth and young adult ministry, obviously one thing as a parent that I'm always concerned about, and I know you guys are concerned about, is passing on the faith.
Amen.
And
yes.
It is, there are so many challenges to that. What do you see as the roadblocks to that?
What
are you competing with?
Well, not only outside of the family unit, but in the family unit. I feel through my limited observations of myself and people that I know that we have not been transformed by faith. I feel many of us adults are dormant in our faith, mm-hmm. and faith has become something that is outside ourselves, something that we go to on Sundays.
And this, almost in a little box somewhere, and not really part of our life.
Yes, and these new generations want to see facts. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to see the YouTube video that is showing me the thing. It's a visible, very visible generation, and many of us are challenged to transmit that visibility of the faith, and I think one of the roadblocks is ourselves, mm-hmm. and say, I believe in God. I believe in Christ, my Lord, that saved me. I believe in the church. I believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, and it nourishes me for something. And that is, I think that is the biggest hurdle we have, mm-hmm. our own belief. Because then faith can be, faith needs to be understood through catechesis. Yet, catechesis without a good witness and a good visibility is just dead words.
Yeah.
So we need to show our faith by our actions, by our love, by our forgiveness, by the way we look at people with patience. We treat people with dignity. And I think the challenge we have right now is that we're not doing that.
Well, we used to hear when we were kids, do as I say, not as I do. That's not a good model.
No, it's not.
You know, if mom and dad are saying, you go to church, you go to catechism class, you take, you do all this stuff, but, oh, no, Sunday morning, well, I'm going to watch the game, and mom's got her group over there that they're going to go have coffee, and, yeah, we're not going to go to Mass. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll go next week.
Maybe. Yeah.
And a kid picks up on that real fast.
Yeah, you know, my dad was not a scholar of the faith. He could not tell you, the Ten Commandments. I don't think he knew that. Yet he showed me faith by his actions. Mm-hmm. He gave to people that were in need. He always made us be generous with our time and be present to what we're doing. Not because we had to. Not because he never said, well, you better be doing this or you better be doing that, but because we had to out of gratefulness to God, which was a very different approach. It's like,
absolutely.
I mean, it's like, why do I have to help that? And he used to tell me, because you can.
Yeah.
Because you can. Because you're present and you can. So go and help.
And as we say in Mass, because it's right and just.
Amen. Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's what Christ, it's what God deserve from us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's an expression of our love,
right?
To what Christ died for us in the cross, and out of that love, pushes me to be nice to people, not because I have to, but because I'm grateful.
Right. And Jesus, he didn't. Wave away the Ten Commandments, but he said, love, worship God, of course, and love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yes.
And he says everything else flows from that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because if I love you, I'm not going to kill you.
That's
right. If I love you, I'm not going to stab you in the back with lies.
Exactly.
You know? If I love you, I'm going to accept you, and I'm not going to be wanting your stuff.
Right.
Because I love you, right? And true love, not mushy-wushy
exactly.
love. I mean, but true love that comes from the heart, a deep friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, because, and you know, that is interesting because Christ calls us friends. And then that's always like, I always ponder on that. What is friendship? You know, who are my friends? How do I treat my friends? Do I have friends? You know, but Christ calls me a friend.
Yeah.
So true love is friendship, nothing more, but true friendship.
Right.
And how do I become friends with people?
Yeah. When I remember Pope Francis at one of the World Youth Days, I think it was in Rio, when he said, I know you guys you're just all too busy to read the whole Bible and all that, he was just being realistic, and he said, so just do me a favor, read Matthew 25,
yes.
And do it, and do it.
Yeah, aspire to do it.
Aspire to do it. Yeah.
Right, because maybe... maybe in my position, I cannot be going to jail always, but aspire to do something good for somebody
else. Yeah, just take one of those five or six things that are listed there and do one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because that's the beauty of faith, that love can be expressed in so many, true love can be expressed in many ways. Like young people young adults, when somebody comes in and has all these issues and they want to commit abortion, being present and saying, let me help you not to. How can I walk with you so you don't? Instead of saying, don't do it, it's how can I help you?
How can I help you? Because in so many cases, that's what you hear. I was alone. Mm-hmm. Nobody cared. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I had no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you're not going to succeed every time, but you're almost certain not to succeed just by wagging your finger at them and saying, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many people are just wanting a friendly face and a hand and a kind heart.
Yeah, and this, I don't know why, our conversation is going many places, but I'm thinking you're reminding me. One of the biggest challenges young adults face in college is loneliness.
Yes.
In a
hard to believe, but it's true.
Yeah, in a place where they're inundated with people around them, is loneliness.
Yep.
And it's like I work with young adults, and we do a service project in an alternative spring break down in New Mexico, and we were having these conversations, and these were from Texas Tech, which is a humongous university.
Right.
And one of the young adults was telling me, you know what, I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dorm buddy. I have all of this, yet I'm alone. Nobody. It's very hard to find people that talk to you.
Yeah.
And that is so challenging.
Yeah.
We can be. That's why Newman Centers are so important.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, because those are the places where young adults belong in the university, and all these people that have these life choices to make, abortion, drugs. I mean, all of this. If they only knew they're not alone, if one of us takes control of our lives and says, I can be present to other people, mm-hmm. I mean, that would be beautiful. We will change the world.
I remember when I took my oldest daughter to school at the University of Arizona, and we were moving her into her dorm, and it was exciting but bittersweet, and, you know, you're about to say goodbye after 17, 18 years. Mm-hmm. Not goodbye forever, but goodbye. And we noticed there was it was late Saturday afternoon, and there was a whole group of people heading across the quad, you know, walking mm-hmm. across the grass. They're all going someplace. Now, it's probably some freshman barbecue or something. And mm-hmm. and so we got her moved in and said, let's walk where those people are walking. And by golly, they were all going to the Newman Center for Mass.
Oh, wow.
And
how it was beautiful. Just,
I said, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just mm-hmm. a very magic moment.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And adults are alone too. Yeah. We are. I mean, loneliness is one of our biggest challenges.
Sure.
We can be, of presence. And Pope, now that you quote from Pope Francis, he said that one of the things that he said that I really like is that the best way to evangelize is to smile at somebody and mean it.
And right? Mean it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not only smile, but yeah. mean the smile and yeah. say hi. And because that is the beginning of a something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. very well said. Well, Alex, again, we'll quickly give the nuts and bolts. Equip is Friday the 18th, optional, beginning at 6:30 p.m. or come Saturday morning. The retreat begins at 10 a.m., concludes Sunday at 5 p.m. It will include Holy Mass, of course, all at Trinity Pines Catholic Center, 28,000 Rollins Lake Road in Colfax. Go to scd.org/equip or contact Rochelle at 916-733-0123. And then Patience, an Advent retreat for youth and young adult ministry leaders, anybody working with youth, Saturday, December 7, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., includes lunch and dinner at the and all the retreat supplies at the Sacramento Newman Center, 5900 Newman Court, right here, right across the street from Sacramento State. Go to scd.org, Patience Retreat, or again, contact Rochelle at 916-733-0123. Alex, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for
Thank you all
you do. God bless.
God bless you too, and everybody that is listening.
That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless you all.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just. crucified. You called me out of death.